I'm Sue Liberman. I'm honored to be president of Senior Statesmen of Virginia. Delighted that you're all here. We are thrilled to have Joe Reeder here. Joe is the site director of the PACE program that's coming to Charlottesville, and I will introduce her shortly. A few housekeeping things at this point. We do podcast all of our programs. So when we get to the question and answer period, if you have a question, someone from the board will bring a microphone to you, and we ask that you speak into the mic when you pose your question. I also know Margaret Fitch is on vacation, and I am sure Margaret would want me to welcome you all to the Senior Center on her behalf. We're thrilled to have the relationship with the Senior Center that we do. And they afford us the use of the center for our programs. So, enough from me. It gives me great pleasure to introduce an extraordinarily capable woman who I also am privileged to consider a friend. She was the rehabilitation manager for Continuum Home Health Care, and I know she has a few former patients in the audience who came specifically to see her. So that says a lot. Joe practiced physiotherapy in a variety of patient care settings in the National Health Service before moving in 1989 to Boston, Massachusetts, where she worked at Mass General. After a brief return to England, which is was her home, Joe and her family settled in Charlottesville in 1994. She's worked at UVA Medical Center and also in long-term care in Charlottesville. She gained her doctorate in physical therapy in 2008 from Shenandoah University and was certified as a geriatric clinical specialist by the American Board of Physical Therapy in 2009. Joe is passionate about the care of the elderly. She continues to practice as a physical therapist. So, Joe, the mic's all yours.
Thank you, Sue, for that great introduction. And thank you very much for all of you coming today. I'm not going to talk about drones, so if anybody was expecting a talk on drones from John Whitehead, that won't come from me. So I'm going to talk to you about today about a program called PACE. PACE stands for Program of All-Inclusive Care of the Elderly. What I want to just point out, the disclaimer at the bottom of this slide, is that this presentation is just for informational purposes only. Just to let people more know about PACE, the concept of PACE, and PACE as a healthcare model of care. The reason why is that we're currently in the process of getting our application through both the state and the federal governments, and so we're not actually allowed in any way to solicit for a potential members of our PACE program, but it is the intention of the members of the Blue Ridge PACE that we will have an operational PACE program in Charlottesville once we've gone through all the regulations. So if when you ask your questions and I am a little bit cagey on my answers, it's not that I don't want to give you the information, but I don't want anything to hold up our application with either the state or the government. So please forgive me for that. So what is PACE? PACE stands for the Program of All-Inclusive Care of the Elderly. It's an innovative care model of care, and it combines all healthcare services into one comprehensive package. So it coordinates services that will provide medical care, social functioning care, and rehabilitation with the goal of keeping seniors in their homes for as long as they wish to remain in their homes. If I were to ask any of you, or in fact anyone of my age or even younger, where do you want to live your life out? I suspect most of you will probably not say in a nursing home. Most of you hope that you will remain in your own homes or with family members. And if I were to ask you the same question, which we all do have to face, where do you want to die? Most of you are not going to tell me that you want to die in the intensive care unit with lots of tubes hanging out of your body. So, and I know that sounds a pretty depressing thought, but unfortunately, as we get older, we gather, collect a basket full of diagnoses, and sometimes have that one incident which puts us in the hospital, and then we're forced to make a rush decision whether we need to go into a nursing home. And so the PACE program came out of the belief that most seniors want to remain in their own homes and hopefully die in their own homes or with the place of their choosing. So when, if anyone will get an email from me over the next few weeks, the byline on my email is that I want to age with dignity in the place of my choosing. And that's what we intend to happen with Blue Ridge PACE. So our goal is to support seniors in maintaining independence and lead healthier, more fulfilling lives by providing this comprehensive care. I want to give you a little bit of background about how PACE started. It actually started in 1971 in the Onlock neighborhood in San Francisco. So Onlock was a Chinese-American neighborhood. And the culture of that particular group of people who live in Onlock neighborhood was that they respected their seniors and wanted them to be able to live in their own homes. So they came together to form this healthcare model which would combine the services of an adult daycare, which probably you're all quite familiar with. We have a number of them in Jarbers Planning District 10. Some of you probably are familiar with the one on Hillsdale Drive, for instance. But also combine healthcare services and other services that seniors might require in order to remain in their own homes. And Onlock means, in Cantonese, peaceful, happy abode. And that's how I like to think about PACE. We're allowing seniors to remain in a peaceful, happy abode and continue to support them. It was recognized that services needed to occur outside of that healthcare day center. And so the Onlock Community Center also included home care for the seniors, so they would be provided with care at the home in order to get them to the PACE Center. Also, transportation was provided. It was a very successful concept, and it was recognized by the federal government that this might be a good way to go with health care. So in 1986, a series of demonstration projects were set up around the country. And a demonstration project is when Medicare or the federal government will put money and support into program development and have certain quality indicators that that program will report back on. And the quality indicators that were particularly chosen included for the PACE model was quality of life, decreased hospitalizations, and satisfaction with their care. And the demonstration projects were so successful that in 1997, as part of the Balanced Budget Act, some of you might remember the Balanced Budget Act, I thought that would have a few chuckles. I was living the nursing home dream at that point, so I definitely remember the Balanced Budget Act. It became a federal program, a Medicare program, and a state benefit. So where we are now is that PACE is a national program that's federally approved and it's duly funded by the state and from the federal government. So it's a very unique model of care. Some of you might have had experience of HMOs. So it's in some ways, PACE is an HMO because the PACE becomes the provider and the pay source. So when somebody becomes enrolled in PACE, PACE becomes their insurance company. And as I talk more about the program, you'll see the benefits of that. So it combines in one place all Medicare and Medicaid benefits, and it provides this all-inclusive medical and social services model of care. Fast forward now to the Affordable Care Act, which we're going through the implementation currently. And PACE has often been considered to be the petri dish for the Affordable Care Act. We've been at this quite a long time, way back from 1971. And so the PACE model has been recognized by the current administration as a mechanism by which some of the good parts of the Affordable Care Act can be delivered. Because once again, instead of providing care that seems to be focused on the provider, the care is actually being focused on the recipients of the care. So us all sitting in this room today. So what is the objective of PACE? It's going to honor what most older adults want. It goes back to my question of where do you want to continue to live out your life? It allows people to remain in familiar surroundings. As you get older, the last thing you want to do is be wrenched out and put into a completely different place of living. It allows seniors to maintain their own autonomy and continue to make their own decisions about life. However good a nursing home is, and I'm not knocking the nursing home, so you'll see later on that we partner with nursing homes. However good the nursing home is, you really don't have a choice of what time you eat your meal or whether you'd like to have scrambled eggs 3 times a day. You have to have what's provided for you. You have to be bathed at the time that the caregivers at the nursing home are able to bathe you. So PACE's goal is to try and maintain as much autonomy and independence of the senior. Our goal is to maintain a maximum level of physical, social, and cognitive function. And as you learn more about the PACE program, you'll see how this comprehensive integrated care model, which is centered on the individual receiving the care, allows that to happen. And it allows us all, me included, to age with dignity. So the hallmarks of the PACE program are all C's. It's community-based. Community because you get to remain in your own community. We also provide, or PACE provides, community-based care. So you get care in their, the seniors get care within their own homes. It's comprehensive. It covers all aspects of care, from medical care to rehabilitation to social functioning. It's coordinated, so instead of having to receive services from multiple places, the senior can get all their care in a coordinated fashion. This is really important. As people get older, they obviously require extra services. And if the primary care physician is trying to put all those services together, they're going to have to pull therapy from here, social services from here, meals from down here. And it gets very difficult for anybody to coordinate that. The PACE model allows for that total coordination of care. It's capitated. That's a good thing. Because there really often isn't the need to be spending what we are currently spending on healthcare in this country. That's where why we've got into this problem. Now, as Sue introduced me, as I've worked in the National Health Service, there are many things wrong with the National Health Service. But the good thing about the National Health Service is that we recognize that there is just one pot of money, and therefore we have to work smart without compromising patient care. And that's what we are able to do with the PACE model. Because the emphasis is on preventative care. And as you'll see later, this is how the PACE programs work. It's not a reactive healthcare model. It's a proactive preventative model, which allows decreased costs, decreased expenditure, but still providing value-based comprehensive care. I'm going to show you a video. This is a video from one of the Riverside PACE facilities, which is down in Hampton in the Tidewater area. The video is actually testimonies from PACE participants, and it's really just to get your juices flowing so you really get to understand what the program is all about, and then I'll explore it more of the PACE concept with you all.
PACE is a program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. We provide services in the home and here in our day center in order to keep our participants safe in the home. We provide all physician services, nursing services, transportation to and from our day center, to and from any medical specialist appointments. We provide home health, personal care services, physical therapy, occupational therapy, rec therapy, all prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, and anything to keep our participants safe in the home.
You can't even keep me out of here when I go to a doctor's appointment and my daughter says, you want to stop for coffee? I'm ready to come back here. I don't even want to take the time to be away because PACE helps me every day. You know, before I knew about PACE, I never wanted to leave my family. My daughter's taken care of me for 20 years.
I knew that I had to take care of her because I was it. She's in my home. And when I first told her about PACE, she was absolutely, I am not leaving my doctor of 19 years. You're not telling me what to do. You're not taking that from me.
My daughter, Brenda, investigated about PACE. She says, well, you're going to have to do something because you can't walk. You need a rehab to get well. So I said to her one day, I says, well, let's go. Let's drive by this PACE and see what it's all about. And we came, drove by here and show me around, and I thought to myself, Lord, I said, I think I'm going to just try once. I haven't left yet.
It has given me a life back, in a sense. Absolutely, my mother. She is excited to come here every day. New friends, new opportunity. She loves all the staff. I'm not alone anymore. I don't have to do this alone. I partner with PACE. And my mom can walk again. My mom is not in bed. She's like a new person.
When I did my home visit with Mr. King, he was in a bedroom, in a hospital bed, in the back of an apartment. It was just him and his wife. His wife, very small, very petite, could not get him in and out of the bed. How do you feel? Are you happy about being at PACE now?
Yeah.
And the speech therapist, I know that she has made something special to help you communicate. Can you show me what she's made for you?
Yeah. One more.
Some communication cards?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a communication card that can express how you feel now that you're part of PACE?
Yeah.
We're happy to have you here.
The caregivers, just outstanding. And even the bus drivers are so nice. I mean, and when I first came here, I started here in June, and I was like, is this really real? I mean, it's just so amazing how that, you know, all these people came together. I'm able to peel a banana. To some people, oh, that's easy to do, but for me, it was not. And I'm helping other people, pulling it. I'll do it for you, and I'll pull it on back, you know. And I'm so grateful. I think my favorite activity is just mingling with everyone. Because some people play so much, a big part in my life now, you know.
I got this glaucoma, and my sight started going away, and I couldn't see the music. And when I got here at PACE, I saw the piano, and I just made my mind up. I said, I might try to play the piano again, because I had given up on playing, and I said, I might try to play again. You know, the people here helped me, and being here with the staff and the people here, that helped me, give me more joy. There was more joy within my soul to do the thing that I'm all right.
I'm telling you, I'm so grateful for PACE and the participants and the staff. Just everybody's been so nice and so kind and has helped me so much.
I know she's safe. I mean, even the bus drivers, when they pull up in the morning, I always have something kind to say to her when they bring her home at night, and I've not heard one complaint from her.
Well, when I came here, I couldn't walk, but I can now. One day, I'm going to be away from that walker, and I'm going to be walking with a cane, and I'm going to do it all of my
own. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to be here at Pace.
All those individuals that were interviewed, if there wasn't Pace in their area, they would have quite likely been in a nursing home. One of the eligibility criteria for being in a Pace program is that you have to be eligible for nursing home level of care. So the first individual, the lady who is going to walk again without her walker, she couldn't walk. Her daughter wasn't able to take care of her full time. But the fact that there was Pace, instead of having to make that awful decision to go into a nursing home, there was Pace available that could provide that comprehensive care and allow her to stay living with her daughter, but also relieve her daughter of some of the burden of taking care of the individual. We'll talk a little bit more about the criteria for how what the eligibility criteria for PACE. But that's what I want you to remember. We're not talking about you all sitting in this room today. We're not talking about the people who are able to come and attend the senior center, ride the city bus, ride the jaunt bus, drive themselves in. We're talking about individuals who are stuck at home, struggling at home, would otherwise have to live in a nursing home. So, what does a typical PACE center include? There is a clinic. At the clinic, there is a board-certified geriatrician full-time. He's assisted by a staff of nurses. Also within that clinic are lab services. We also have the ability to bring in additional medical support services, including dentistry, optometry, audiology, podiatry, and additional services that the individual might require. We're bringing it to them at the PACE center. There's the day center, which provides a full range of activities that are individualized to the individuals. So I know here at the senior center, there's a wide range of activities, and those same rules apply. What we're able to do because of the staffing we have is to make sure that the activities are designed for the individual. There is a pharmacy on site with a clinical pharmacist. Dietary services, so nutritious meals are provided, but also there's a dietitian on staff. Social services, there's a social worker on staff. Other support services include, we have a full-time chaplain on staff for all PACE programs with additional ability to bring in other support services, and transportation. So the PACE program brings individuals to the PACE center on their scheduled days and takes them home, but also provides transportation to medical appointments outside of the PACE center. You can imagine that's a great relief for the caregivers. It's a great struggle sometimes to get an elderly person who's in a wheelchair in and out of your own personal car and try and get them to the hospital on time. So the PACE transportation services are able to take care of that. In the community, PACE provides home care. So as we alluded to earlier, the aides come to the home. We provide medical care, so we partner with other healthcare providers within the community. Obviously, one doctor can't be all things to all people, so we still continue to partner with community, with the local hospitals in the area, local other healthcare providers to provide a comprehensive medical care services. Transportation. We also partner with local social services in order to make sure that the individual is able to access all community-based services. We provide caregiver support. You mentioned, we saw Brenda in the video, and Brenda said, I don't have to do this on my own anymore. Brenda was able to become the daughter again rather than being the caregiver. I have personal experience of this. My father had Alzheimer's, and it was very challenging for me because I was living here, but I would go back to England, and during the periods of time that I was in England, I was able to take over some of the caregiver duties, and that allowed my mother to be the wife again because she turned around and had become the caregiver. She had to do everything for Dad, and she lost her identity as his wife. We want to be able to give that identity back to the caregivers, whoever you are, a daughter, a niece, a nephew, a brother, a sister, a spouse. So PACE will take care of that. And when we do a little case history, you'll see how good that caregiver support can be. And we're linked into the community. We're really fortunate here in Charlottesville. We have an amazing community support system. And I think that we're going, you know, with our PACE program coming into the area, we're going to be so successful because of the unique group of people that makes up Charlottesville and its surrounding counties. The PACE model of care is very interesting. It's a true interdisciplinary team-based care. This is where we all should be moving forward to in healthcare delivery. So the whole group, all the individuals that are part of the interdisciplinary team, come together on a daily basis to discuss the needs of their participants. They all work together to plan a plan of care that will work for the individual and then continue to reassess it on a very regular basis. What's missing from this slide is the fact that the participant, the elderly individual, and their caregiver is as important in that team as every other member that you see sitting around the table. So it becomes true patient-centered care. So they get a choice in how their care is delivered, and the federal and the state governments very closely monitor that and hold us to those regulations by having a very sophisticated grievance and appeal process that we have to work with the government to make sure that the individual's cares are met. To bring it all to life, I thought I'd just give you a little case history. This is a fairly typical PACE patient. And by the way, sorry, we call them participants. So Mrs. Jones is a 77-year-old female. She lives with her daughter, who works the early shift at the local factory. Mrs. Jones has multiple medical problems, not atypical of somebody who's got to the grand old age of 77. She's got high blood pressure. I know a lot of you are smiling at me, but high blood pressure. She's got diabetes with peripheral neuropathy, so she doesn't feel her feet too well. And she's got some issues with her vision, retinopathy. Her kidneys aren't working so well, and she's recently had a stroke. Not atypical of a typical PACE person. That's a small number of diagnoses. She comes to the PACE Center 5 days a week. Her home health aide comes each morning to help her get up and get ready for PACE, and she's picked up by the PACE bus. And then the PACE bus takes her home in the afternoon where her daughter is there to meet her. If the bus were to get to her home and find that the daughter had been delayed at work, she wouldn't be left at the doorstep. She would be brought back to the PACE center and the daughter would be contacted and the PACE program would look after her until they could make sure there was somebody there to be at the home for her. So we're going to quickly go through her plan of care. She's being seen by physical therapy to make sure that she's getting as active as possible in terms of walking and being independent. Occupational therapy is working with her to make sure she's as independent as possible with her activities of daily living, so her bathing and dressing. They've also been out to the home and checked out her home to make sure that it's safe for her to live there. And PACE has provided in the home equipment that will make sure she's safe. For example, grab bars in the bathroom. They've provided a ramp to allow her to get in and out of the house. And they've also provided a bedside commode. OT is also working with adaptive equipment and strategies for low vision. If you remember, she had some visual difficulties as a result of her diabetes. She's also seeing speech therapy, which will allow her to maximize her ability to communicate, remembering that she just recently had a stroke. She might also have some difficulty with swallowing, so the speech therapist is going to monitor that. She's being seen by nursing, who will continue to monitor her blood glucose. She has diabetes, going to help her manage her medications, and just generally provide overall health and wellness. Because she can't currently get in and out of her tub very easily at home, she's going to get her showers 3 days a week at the PACE Center so we can make sure we maintain her personal hygiene. She's seen regularly by the dietitian to make sure that she's following a diet that is going to help her with her renal insufficiency, her kidney problems. Also, they've changed her diet a little bit, made it a little bit soft for her for a while because she's got problems with swallowing. And we're going to monitor her weight. Too many elderly people who live alone subside off tea and crackers. They drop their weight and that becomes a problem. Social work meets with her regularly to make sure that they're addressing any social and mental health related issues. Also, we're going to help her daughter access any services and resources in the community and make sure that all services are coordinated across all the PACE team members, but also in the community as well. The chaplain will address any spiritual needs and also assist the caregivers and the participant in dealing with any issues related to the process of aging and her disease process. The chaplains are very involved in our program. She also has a recreational therapy plan of care to make sure that we're maintaining a higher level of physical functioning. She's doing what she likes to do. And home care, as we found out, they come each day. They help with bathing and dressing and also provide her with needs at home. For instance, incontinence supplies. PACE will provide incontinence pads. Those things get really expensive when you're having to buy them at CVS. Also make sure that the environment is safe at home. And then the transportation will ensure safe transportation to and from the PACE Center and other medically necessary appointments. Last but not least, the physician. He's obviously going to be coordinating all her medical needs, addressing her concerns about any of her disease processes, and coordinating care with specialists. You can't have all those different diagnoses without requiring specialist care at the local hospital. And also to maintain a good communication with the participant, the physician has time to talk with the participant and the caregiver. On this particular day, the home health aide comes to get Mrs. Jones ready for coming to the PACE Center. She notices she has a red area on the side of her foot. So she calls ahead to the PACE Center, to the home care manager, who arranges for Mrs. Jones to be seen in the clinic as soon as she arrives at the center. Mrs. Jones gets on the bus, and the driver notices that she's kind of down in the dumps. She doesn't want to choose the music. She's not engaging in conversation with the other riders on the bus. And he's concerned. He knows Mrs. Jones well. He takes her to and from the PACE Center every day, 5 days a week. And he says, "Is there anything wrong?" And she says, "She's worried about her daughter. I'm too much trouble for my daughter. I think I need to move into a nursing home. I'm holding her back in her life." So he doesn't let this go, but he calls ahead to the PACE Center and lets the transportation coordinator know what's going on with her. She's having a bad day. She arrives at the center and she's a little bit unsteady when she gets off the bus. And the UCP, that's Universal Care Partner, that's the term that we use for CNAs, notice that she's unsteady and she reports she's dizzy. The clinic nurse is informed. So even before she's got to the PACE Center, they've already started to realize there's something going on. If Mrs. Jones wasn't going to the PACE Center that day, who knows how long it might have been before that red area had been noticed on her foot. She would have put on a brave face for her daughter. She might have tried to mask that dizziness because she doesn't want to bother her daughter. She's taken around to the clinic, and she's seen immediately by the nurse and the physician. So within 2 hours of all these things being identified, she's receiving care by a geriatrician. She hasn't had to go to the emergency room, which probably would have been her other option, because it's rather unlikely that at 6 o'clock in the morning she could have called her PCP and said, could you please see me at 8 o'clock because I'm feeling dizzy and I've got a red area on my foot. The doctor makes some adjustments to her medication, and he contacts therapy, who's going to see her later that day, because he wants them to look at her footwear. And also, while she's doing her therapy, take her blood pressure a few more times to make sure that she's not getting dizzy when she gets up and sits down again. She's then put on a daily clinic visit schedule, so she will be seen every day by the doctor so we can continue to monitor her medications and make sure that any changes that are made are appropriate. Later on that morning, at that regular team meeting that I talked about earlier, she's discussed with the whole team. And that team includes home care, nurses, therapy, doctor, the CNAs who see her regularly in the day room, the dietitian, the recreational therapist, the social worker, and the driver. And that's very important. How often do you get the driver coming and sitting at the table and telling the doctor what he thinks should happen? So the decision is made for ongoing monitoring and treatment in the clinic, and social work will make an appointment to see her that day. Therapy is going to assess her footwear, and the chaplain, the recreational therapy, will make sure to see her during her activities and watch for any changes that might alert them to the problems with her, why she's so down in the dumps. When the social worker meets with her, it turns out that Mrs. Jones is really worried because her daughter wants to go to a niece's wedding in another state. But the daughter can't go because she hasn't got anybody to look after Mrs. Jones. She also feels she's being a burden. So social work is able to talk with the daughter during the day, and with the rest of the team, a plan is decided that they will arrange for respite care for Mrs. Jones at a local assisted living facility at the cost of PACE so that she can go to the wedding. This is twofold. It resolves the immediate issue, but it shows the caregiver that Mrs. Jones is going to be taken care of and that her needs are being met as well. This is part of that preventative care I was talking about. If we weren't able to do something like this, that caregiver is going to continue to get so burnt out, at some point she's going to throw her hands up and say, I've had enough. I can't take care of Mum anymore. But knowing that we might be able to help her out on situations like this just gives her that little bit more hope that things can continue to have her mother at home. Also, the interdisciplinary team will monitor to see if perhaps we might need to put in a few more hours of home care. Maybe give her an extra hour on the weekends so she can go out and do the shopping. All being monitored by the interdisciplinary team. She's seen in therapy. She has her regular PT and OT, and the speech therapist will see her at lunchtime. She has lunch, and then she attends activities in the day room, and she works in the garden. She has always grown vegetables, and at the PACE Center, they have a vegetable garden that she's going to be able to work in. She does a flower arranging session and has a nutritious snack, and then attends the church sing, which is led by the chaplain, and she always has this wonderful voice that they all like to listen to. And then the recreational therapist and the chaplain have been able to monitor her participation and engagement in the programs. Not dissimilar to what we would expect here at the senior center or at another adult daycare center. The medication nurse, we have other support teams in place. The medication nurse will continue to monitor her glucose. She can't do that on her own because she can't see well enough. And then we've also got the universal care partners who will continue to see how she's doing. The pharmacist is on site. There's the dietitian, and then she's continuing to get her nutrition through the food services. At the end of the day, she's taken home by the PACE bus, and her daughter's there waiting for her. And both Mrs. Jones and her daughter feel that their concerns have been met and heard by the PACE team in a very proactive, preventative way. So how is it different? We do have all these wonderful services here in Charlottesville. Any community has them. What we're able to provide at PACE for that very vulnerable segment of the population, those frail elderly who often aren't able to speak out for themselves, who are living with caregivers who are working so hard, maybe holding down two jobs, looking after a couple of kids, we're able to provide that support in a comprehensive way with a team-based approach that makes sense. The participant and the caregiver are involved, and we're being proactive and preventative. If we hadn't picked up on her dizziness, perhaps that next night at home she might have fallen, she might have broken her hip, she would have to have gone to the hospital, had surgery, incurred expensive hospital bills, and then maybe not have been able to go back home. I'm not saying that PACE can completely prevent that type of thing, but at least we're going to contribute to hopefully delaying or maybe ultimately preventing that type of thing by being proactive with our care. So we're honoring what you need. You're staying at home. You can still participate in community-based activities. For those of you who have been through home care or have had to be in a nursing home, there are restrictions that are imposed. It's not like if you're living in a nursing home, you can just say, oh, I'm going to go out to the shops today. Or if you are receiving home care, that you can go out and do things without having to sort of wait for your therapist or your nurse to turn up. What the other thing is that PACE provides is all care and services that are currently being provided by Medicare and Medicaid. Remembering this is a Medicare-Medicaid program. But we're able to fill in the gaps that aren't currently being covered by Medicare and Medicaid. A prime example is Medicare and Medicaid does not pay for services past the bathroom door. So if you need grab bars in your bathroom, you need a tub bench, a shower seat, that's not typically paid for by Medicare or Medicaid. But PACE will be able to provide that if it makes sense and the team thinks that it's going to contribute to the increased physical and social well-being of the individual. Another example, which our doctor always likes to give, is on dentures. Medicare doesn't pay for dentures. I don't know if you realize that. Probably do. They do pay to pull your teeth, but they don't pay to put them back in your mouth. If you're an elderly person and you've got a mouthful of teeth that are rotten, that means you're probably not eating as well as you should. You're nutritionally compromised. That's enough to put an elderly, frail person in the hospital. PACE might recognize that it makes sense for those teeth to be removed, and then we'll give that person affordable dentures so they can continue to eat, they can continue to maintain their nutritional status, and hopefully that will delay a hospitalization or even prevent a hospitalization. Once somebody is in the PACE program, remembering that we are a pay source as well as a provider, there's no co-pays, there's no deductibles, there's no coverage gaps as long as the care is been approved by the interdisciplinary team. So who's eligible? It's a very small segment of the population, but it's those frail, vulnerable elderly that currently are underserved in most communities. 55 years or older. I'm getting awfully close to that. They live in the PACE Service District. And what's really cool about the PACE Service District is that these are zip codes that are mandated by the federal and state governments. That means that no two PACE programs can operate in the same area. So we're not in competition with each other. And the goal is eventually to have this network that spreads throughout the United States where all zip codes are connected and everybody will have access to a PACE program. Certified as needing nursing home level of care. So that is a tool that is used by the state government called the Uniform Assessment Instrument, the UAI. And that determines whether somebody could get nursing home care, and they have to have that to be able to be a PACE participant. And also live safely in the community with the support of PACE at the time of enrollment. Obviously, people do continue to age, and it is recognized by PACE that they will need to continue to add in services to allow this point number four to continue. So maybe somebody first enrolling in a PACE program might not need any home care support, but something might happen. They might have a flare-up of a chronic condition, their heart failure. They might have a stroke. We recognize that then we might need to put in extra nursing care in the home. We continue to support the individual right to and through the end of life. Just because you start to require more services doesn't mean you're going to be disenrolled from PACE. We will support all individuals for as long as they remain eligible and meet the PACE criteria. These are all the services that are currently provided through PACE programs. I'm not going to read them out to you. It's quite an impressive list. Most of them I've touched on as we've talked today. You can see at the bottom, though, hospital and nursing home care when necessary. So we provide and pay for the nursing home care and also pay for hospital services. So if somebody needs to go into a hospital, PACE provides that care. And what's so excellent about it is that the PACE team continues to support the individual in the hospital. They go and visit the person in the hospital, help the caregiver and the participant navigate through the hospital system so unnecessary tests aren't performed, unnecessary drugs aren't prescribed, because their doctor, our geriatrician, is talking daily with the hospital and the hospital providers. When somebody comes out of the hospital, the nurse from PACE will meet them at their own home, make sure they have all their medications available, and help them get tucked in, as it were. If you look at a lot of studies, it's shown that the most vulnerable time for people coming out of hospital, when they're most likely to go back into the hospital, is when they've just come home. We want to prevent that. If an individual does need nursing home care, they still remain in the PACE program, and we'll continue to work with the nursing homes to make sure that their highest level of physical and social and medical function occurs, even in a nursing home. So nationwide, there are approximately 94 PACE organizations covering 29 states. And I think that number is probably increasing. And there are approximately about 22 in the planning stages. So it's a vibrant, active program. We'd like it to move quicker, but it's government regulated. It takes time. What happened to the map? Okay, who knows their geography? You have to imagine that this is the map of the United States. Use your imagination. These are all the states that they're located in. Here we go. At least we've got a map in Virginia. These are the PACE programs that are currently in Virginia. Virginia is the fastest growing state for PACE programs, which is wonderful. We're not the fastest growing state for many things, but we're certainly the fastest growing state for PACE programs, which is wonderful because that means that our state recognizes the value of this care. So this is the long list of them. You can see the name Riverside features very prominently. Riverside has been recognized as one of the leading PACE providers of PACE services in Virginia. They're a hospital system based in the Tidewater area. So Blue Ridge PACE, as I say, that is hopefully going to be the newest and PACE that's coming to Virginia. We're in a wonderful situation. We have this unique not-for-profit partnership between Riverside Health System. We saw on the earlier slide, they've got the operational know-how. We're partnering with the University of Virginia, very well-recognized tertiary care hospital, academic medical center, and the Jefferson Area Board of Aging. Who better to partner with than JABA in providing elderly care services in this area? We will be serving the frail elderly living in Charlottesville, Albemarle, Nelson, Fluvanna, Green, and Louisa. So for those of you who are familiar with JABA, it's Planning District 10. The building will be located at on Carlton Avenue, which is down in the Woolen Mills District of Charlottesville. We hope to open later this year. The building is nearly completed. As I say, we are not a recognized PACE program at the moment, but we are on track to get all our inspections done and completed. Our initial application has been accepted and approved by the federal and the state government. They'll now come back and inspect the building and inspect our policies and procedures and inspect the team. And hopefully we will be able to provide PACE services, if all things go well, by the end of this year. This is me. I am currently located at JABA. That's my home at the moment. And that's what I have today. I'm sure there are lots of questions. If there aren't, that's great. But if you do have questions, I'll do my best to answer them for you. And I thank you all very much for your attention.
Okay, we have Bill on my left and John on my right with microphones. Remember, when you ask your questions, please speak into the mic.
Yes, how many beds or slots do you hope to be licensed for? And also, do you have a projection of how many FTEs once you're fully operational?
The slots, because remember, we're not an overnight place, so it's a number of participants. The estimation and what the we're going to be licensed for is going to be approximately 175. At any one time, that PACE center that we're building will, can house 150 people. Most people come approximately three times a week to a PACE program, but there is the ability to come five times a week. There is the ability to come once a week, once a month, whatever the needs are of the individual. In terms of FTEs, I anticipate probably somewhere between 50 and 60 FTEs. So a pretty good boost to the Charlottesville area. Full-time equivalent, so staff members.
I'm a little confused. At one point, I got the impression that somebody had to be eligible, as you say, for nursing home care. This is assuming then that are people who are eligible for nursing home care that are living at home alone.
Correct.
But your examples were mostly of people who came home to somebody afterwards. So it is that if you're supposedly you are qualified for nursing home care, you can do this instead. And just out of curiosity, where does all the money come from?
To answer your first question, in order to be certified as eligible for nursing home care, this tool, the state recognized tool, the Uniform Assessment Instrument, is conducted. It's often conducted in the hospitals. It's often conducted by the health department. And it's used frequently to get community-based services into a home, so Medicaid aides or aid services. There are a huge number of individuals who could, by that instrument, go into a nursing home, but choose not to. To answer that question, all that tool determines is how disabled or needy the individual is. And it looks at various domains. It looks at how you're able to take care of yourself in terms of bathing, dressing, feeding, food preparation. Can you safely take your medications or not? Can you safely get out of the house in case of a fire? It doesn't actually say you have to go into a nursing home. It just categorizes you into a level of care. In terms of who pays for this, the PACE programs, as I say, it's a capitated payment as a federal and state program. The PACE program receives a fixed amount on a monthly basis from the federal government, through Medicare, and from the state government as Medicaid, the Medicaid payment. And that is predetermined by Medicare and Medicaid. And out of that money, the PACE program is mandated to provide all services that they would receive otherwise from Medicare or Medicaid, plus the additional services that the PACE team determines are appropriate. And just to put it in perspective, approximately in Virginia, a PACE participant or PACE program receives about $6,500 per month to provide all these services, approximately. The cost, if you were to private pay for a nursing home, is about $7,000. The government is paying, therefore, about $7,000 if they're Medicaid folks to put somebody in a nursing home. So the government is actually saving a phenomenal amount of money across the country by utilizing PACE services. And we believe that because of the unique nature of how PACE care is delivered, this interdisciplinary team, this focus on coordinated services, that the individual actually, and it's been shown, has a better quality of life if they're able to live in their own home. And they do live longer. You're absolutely right. Around with a microphone.
I have two questions. Yes. First off, you have to be Medicaid eligible, correct? So it's not private insurance.
Do you want me to address that one before your second question?
Yes.
Okay. No. The program is designed for dually eligible folks, so individuals who do have Medicare and Medicaid. However, no, it's not an exclusive club for those who have Medicaid. Anybody is eligible to come into the PACE program if they meet the criteria that was put up there, the 55 nursing home level of care, live in the PACE service district, and be able to live safely at home. If an individual doesn't qualify for Medicaid, which, as you know, is income based at this age, it can be disability based for younger folk, they can private pay that Medicaid portion. So the PACE program is not allowed to ask for anything extra. So the private pay people aren't gouged. They have to pay the same amount as what the state would pay for that Medicaid individual. They also, the way that it's calculated, they also have to pay for some of the Part D parts, the Medicare Part D for the drugs. On the flip side, if an individual has Medicaid but not Medicare, the same rules apply. So you notice 55, so if you're not 65, you can still be in a PACE program, but then you would pay the Medicare portion.
I've been taking care of my mother and my mother-in-law for the last 10 years. I'm sorry. It's really been stressful for me, emotionally and physically. Would this provide, any, like you said, there's respite care. How much of that do you get on a yearly basis, and is it any benefit to me other than the day program to help me out?
For you as the caregiver?
Yes.
What you're going to get as a caregiver is the support of a personal health care team for your mother and your mother-in-law. You'll know who the doctor is that's going to see her each day. You're going to know that you've got a social worker, you've got the same therapist, you've got the same nurse, you've got a whole team helping you provide care. Whereas at the moment, it's a little bit of a luck of the draw. You definitely have their regular PCP, but if she was to go into the hospital, you don't know which social worker is going to see her. You don't know which nurse, which physical therapist. So you have that comfort that you have this well-established team who knows your mother or your mother-in-law very well. We know that on August 14th, that's a really bad day for them because that's the day their dog died last year. And we care about that because we know about the individual. The physician, going back to an earlier question about how many participants, 175 participants, There aren't very many PCPs who only ever have 175 patients. He's going to know the individuals very well. So you've got that team supporting you. In addition, we have the caregiver support program. We have support groups. We also have the transportation piece. So if you do have to go to a doctor's appointment at the hospital, we're going to help you with that transportation. You haven't got to do that or pay somebody to do that. And then the respite care, it's not a prescribed amount. It's not like you only get 5 days a year. It's decided through the interdisciplinary team what makes sense for your mother or your mother-in-law, for you and your family. I give you an example, and I don't want you to think, oh, this is what's going to happen. But, for instance, there is a participant in the program in Hampton, and they have respite care every other weekend because that's what makes sense. That gives the caregiver the break they need, and it allows that individual to stay in the home in the place of their choosing. So there's a lot more support for you.
Are you required to do the spend down of assets and the 5-year wait, you know, with Medicare as far as nursing home? And how do you determine the two questions. Second question is, how do you determine the monthly fee that the patient is going to pay? Is that a sliding scale? Or?
In terms of the spend down, it's the same rules that would apply for any Medicaid-based program. So if the individual was going into a nursing home and they had too many assets, they would spend down. Their contribution to the PACE program, the patient pay, is part of that spend down. How we determine what the individual pays, we don't determine that. That's determined by the Department of Social Services. So we don't have an option in that because of it being a state and federal program. So they will be billed monthly based on what is determined by the DSS. So there isn't a sliding scale. So we don't get anything extra. We don't get anything less.
A person is not eligible for Medicaid, but is eligible for Medicare,
mm-hmm.
and lives alone.
Yes.
There is no caregiver in the home, and already has private insurance and Plan D insurance. Do they then give up the private insurance and the Plan D and just go to PACE, and would that then be covered with nobody at home taking care of them?
So you've got a couple of questions in there in terms of whether the person, if they live on their own at home, I'll address that first. So as long as the individual is able to live safely at home with the support of PACE at the time of enrollment, whether they have a caregiver or not at home, that will be what will be the criteria. Now, most of these folks do need somebody at home. We're not a 24-hour a care custodial care. We do provide 24-hour on-call nursing and physician services, but that's on-call. So we don't provide that custodial care. There are many individuals who can live at home and attend PACE. So that answers that question. It's just basically, are they safe in the home as determined by the PACE program and the assessments? Regarding private insurance, many people have taken out long-term health insurance. Is that what you mean, the long-term care insurance? Anthem Blue. Supplements. So in terms of the long-term care insurance that many people take out, many of those programs are recognizing that PACE is a great option for them. You know, they think, oh, this is definitely going to be a good deal. So the PACE program will work individually with those insurance programs. So I can't answer for the insurance programs, but I can tell you that PACE would reach out to that long-term care insurance. In terms of the private insurance, you could give that up, but the issue is, if you ever thought that PACE maybe isn't the right answer for you, it's very hard to get that back again. So we would never advise somebody or tell somebody to give that up, and that doesn't disqualify you from becoming a PACE participant. In terms of the Part D, If somebody has Medicare and Medicaid, then PACE covers all the pharmacy costs, so there isn't any Part D insurance anymore. It's all wrapped up into that PACE benefit. But if you're a private pay, so not Medicaid, just Medicare, then you are obligated to pay that Part D part of it.
With the participants' qualifications for eligibility, you've talked about participants being physically frail and with medical needs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a precursor if the participant has dementia or Alzheimer's?
So approximately 64 of all PACE participants have some diagnosis of dementia, some dementia illness. This program is primarily focused to take care of those individuals who are often underserved in the community because there isn't anywhere that can take them. Home care can only provide episodic care, and that's an issue. The thing about PACE is it's not episodic care. If you need physical therapy for the rest of your life, you'll get physical therapy for the rest of your life. We recognize that not everybody has dementia, so the way the PACE programs are designed is that they have special programming and separate day room space for folks with dementia. So they need lower stimulus, they need different styles of activities, so they are catered for. In our particular building, which I'm very proud of, our memory care, or whether we're going to be call our Alzheimer's unit, it even has access through to the kitchen, so that transition of having to eat in a noisy dining room won't even need to occur.
Can be physically healthy but have Alzheimer's or dementia.
Absolutely. And so they might be the sort of completely walkie-talkie. In fact, they walk and talk too much. Yes. They do. Absolutely. They do have all Alzheimer's. Yes. Yeah.
Did I understand you to say that this is a federal or state program?
Federal and state.
And so how come we haven't heard anything about it? Is it part of the Affordable Care Act?
It's not listed in the Affordable Care Act as a new program because, of course, it's been going on. It's been recognized since 1997, and, in fact, all the way back to 1971, if you think about OnLock. Why you haven't heard about it, I don't know. I know JABA has been working very hard for a number of years to get it going. I will tell you, it's very expensive to get a PACE program going. You have to have people with very deep pockets who are very invested in the care of the elderly, because you have to have a building completely ready to go with an entire professional interdisciplinary team ready to operate, then go through all the regulatory gymnastics in order to qualify as a PACE program. I've been on board since January. The physician has been on board since November. The team is hopefully starting next week. We still haven't had any income yet and won't until we open. Yes. It's all private investors. So JABA, Riverside, and UVA are so committed to the care of elderly in this community, they've invested in putting PACE in Charlottesville.
Would you say that this is another term for the government-sponsored long-term care for the elder?
It is, yes. I think it is the government-sponsored long-term care, but it's what it allows is for local community-based care without the overall influence. That we're regulated by the government. We have certain benchmarks that we have to meet in terms of quality of care. But how the care is delivered in a way that makes sense for the individual participant. The government won't tell the PACE program you have to do 3 gardening programs a week, or you have to provide 12 hours of home care, or you can't provide any more than 24 hours of home care. If that individual needs 5 days of gardening and needs 40 hours of home care, that's the PACE's right to provide that. Because we have the pot of money, and how we choose to spend that pot of money on all our participants is our choice.
How do you convince the doctors and the other healthcare providers at the hospital that the PACE program is the best program for their patients?
So most doctors, in fact all doctors, their goal is to provide the best level of care and the best quality care for their participants, for their patients. And a lot of the local physicians, or in any community, recognize that as it gets harder and harder to provide care for these individuals. So at the point where they're actually having to say to somebody, I think it's time you moved into a nursing home, they have another option. I think it's time that rather than moving into a nursing home when somebody else will take care of them, we can now say there's PACE which will allow you to stay at home. So we haven't, you know, I've talked a lot with the doctors. Our physician is a UVA physician who's been hired specifically for PACE. But as I say, most doctors recognize they're overstretched. They have 4,000 patients to take care of, in that, and they only get reimbursed for that 15 minutes office visit, but they might spend hours trying to coordinate services from all different vendors or providers. So I think most doctors think this is a wonderful option to get the most care for their patients.
What is the maximum income and assets a patient can be eligible for this service?
Anybody is eligible for the service because of the criteria, if they meet those four criteria. In terms of their actual assets, that's determined by the DSS if they're eligible for Medicaid. So it's the same if you're eligible for long-term Medicaid. And I don't want to quote that figure in case I get it wrong. I want to say it's somewhere around about $2,500 income, but please don't quote me on that. That's set by the Department of Social Services. So Sue would probably be able to answer that better than I could.
Sorry, in order to qualify for Medicaid, you must reduce your assets to no more than $3,000 in the bank, and your income cannot be higher than $1,240 a month.
But that doesn't make you ineligible for PACE.
I'm having trouble making the numbers work. My mother's $7,000 a month, full care, continuing care, nursing home. Mm-hmm. And if she was living not in this place with the bed, and it's not huge, but it's a big room with a bathroom, PACE is going to be $6,500 a month. Mm-hmm. So she's not living in that facility at $500 a month for the cost of having a bed and the meals and stuff. You're either providing more care because you have a building, but you don't have this huge place where people sleep. So I'm confused about how the numbers work.
We are providing more care, absolutely. We're providing all physician services, all rehab services, all medication. We're providing transportation. All those services are included in that. Yes. So everything is included. And it's also, once again, allowing your mother or whoever to stay in their own home. Once somebody is a PACE participant, there's no hidden extra copays or caps, any additional costs.
We'll take one more question. I just want to respond a little bit. It's been my experience, at least in my consulting practice, that I don't know anybody that has a loved one in long-term care or skilled nursing that's paying $7,000 a month. It's considerably more than that now. So, yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Sorry about that.
My question is, how is your staff getting paid? Are they even the physicians on a monthly salary?
Yeah. I mean, they're employed by the PACE program employs the staff. They're responsible for salaries and benefits and taking care of the staff. Yeah. They're not paid by the government. Does that answer your question or not really? Oh, no. No. No, we're a competitive market. Yeah. No, the only capitated amount is what PACE receives from the federal and state government. Everything else is outside of the government control in terms of money. There's lots of controls in terms of providing a good quality care.
Thank you.
Thank you.